Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestler broadcast, Monty Nefaro, where we've got the great Scott McGee in studio, but still on the couch is the great Tony Garea. And why is Tony Garea still on the couch? Because part of the family, Jimmy Fingers, had a question, which I missed, and Tony was gracious enough to stay on the couch to answer his question. So, Tony, Jimmy is asking, Jimmy Fingers, so happy to see you, Tony. God bless you. You look great, which you do. I mean, by the way, I got people texting me saying I'm fanboying you too much. Am I fanboying you too much?
No, I don't do it. You know, bring it on. The more the better.
What's wrong with a little man love? Yeah. You can have a little man love. You can crush on a man.
I was a
bit.
Rugby player. I understand. 40 guys in a shower taking it together. Get my back. Don't drop the soap.
Listen,
though.
I draw the line at washing a man's back. All right, I'm sorry. As good looking as you are, unless you got a lot of money.
Nobody dropped the soap.
Tony, I came across an old skit you did with Terry Funk in a bar where you came in and took his girl. How many takes did that take? Please tell me you guys laughed doing it.
No, we did it in one take, and, you know, a lot of it was kind of ad-libbed. I wasn't sure, you know, what I was going to do. Vince says, you know, just come in here, sit down with us, you know, and, you know, get your eye on that girl and then go up and, you know, put your arm around her, you know, and just, I just, like, babbled, you know, at her, you know, and then Terry came here with the bottle and bang, and I figured, well, he hit me with a bottle, so I'm not going to have any offense, really, you know. So then when he threw me into the bar, you know, I kind of inserted, you know, a little more pressure, tried to knock the bar off its, I don't know if I knocked it off its foundation or not, but it was all done in one take and, you know, basically ad-libbed.
That's great acting. That's great acting. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Tony's going to go take a powder, and Scott McGee's going to step in, and we're going to have a great interview with Scott McGee. Again, thank you again. I'm trying not
to
fanboy right now. But
you're welcome.
All right, we'll see you in a bit.
Okay.
Sir? Manscaped.
Uh-huh.
You know, have you tried the new equipment that's been sent?
I'm afraid because it says weed whacker. I'm scared.
Maven, Manscaped. What are you thinking about Manscaped, dude?
Love it.
What do you use it for?
Necessity. What don't I use it for? Put it this way. The only hair I have on my entire body is these eyebrows that you see. These caterpillars racing to the middle of my nose. That's it.
That is it.
That's all I have. And that's all I want.
That's the
Manscaped is a must.
We were talking before the show. There's nothing worse than just hair.
Yeah.
Right? Hair on a woman, hair on a man. It's just bad.
Absolutely. And it's the one thing that the older I get, it starts growing more in unwanted areas.
Absolutely.
I hate it.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
Just going to go out there.
Oh, boy.
Go for it.
You're doing a deed.
Yes.
Again, I don't want you to have to admit this because we, as men, we try not to admit this. But if you're going to go do the deed on a woman,
I know
would you rather
going.
Have her be hairless or a little hair, racing stripe, or
racing stripe.
Full retro bush?
Racing stripe.
Retro bush is out.
Yes, thank you.
Retro bush is out.
Yeah.
I don't mind a small, well-manicured landing strip. Every now and then, if it's completely, and I'm talking like baby's ass bald, then I start, where is that pedophilia line I don't want to wander into that.
That's very interesting. Like that. I never thought about that. You're a smart dude. Holy shit.
So if the landing strip is clean enough for the plane to go in smoothly, you're cool with that?
If the landing strip has, like I said, well manicured, you can see both sides. It's not
like blinking lights on both sides of that landing?
I don't want the shrubbery going off into unwanted areas on that.
Gotcha.
As well.
What you found. Ooh.
I gotta be all honest though. Hey, the older I get though, I don't think I can be as
I found it.
Have you ever gone down there and she slowly brings down the underwear then?
What is
retro?
Absolutely.
You're like, whoa.
Wow. Yeah, I'm 46,
like
it pops out?
Do you like walk out or what do you do?
No, I muster through. I muster up the courage to get through.
He's a trooper.
Yeah.
He's a trooper. Gotta give him an A.
Yeah, not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I couldn't say it. Well, if you have the same beliefs as Maven does, Manscaped could help you.
Absolutely.
The weed whacker.
Absolutely.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I may have to, go in a room, close the door, and hang out with the weed whacker for a little while.
Yeah, I think you're a retro guy, aren't you?
I like 70s adult films, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
but with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with this wrestling icon, Maven.
We will see you in a drop kick second.
Drop kick.
All right, welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestler broadcast, Monty Nefaro, where we have the honor of having the great Scott McGee in studio. Scott, thank you, sir. Thank you for honoring us and coming on Long Island's number one pro wrestler and broadcast.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Again, Tony Garea was in here, great shape. I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Another guy, great shape. How old are you, sir?
65.
65.
Yeah.
What does Scott McGee do to keep himself in shape?
Well, right now I walk my dogs. I walk my dogs twice a day. I just go to the gym and just do a couple of sets, you know, just keep a bit of a pump, you know.
Have you always kept yourself in shape?
Absolutely. I mean, I was in real good shape, you know, up until COVID hit and I kind of shut everything down. Because I went to Scotland for 3 weeks and it ended up staying 6 months. I had a collapsed lung. I was in the hospital for 100 days and...
Let me slow you down here for a second. So you reside in the States right now?
I'm a U.S. citizen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you went to Scotland just to visit?
Yeah.
And then what happened? COVID hit?
I got COVID. And I was spent 100 days in hospital.
My God.
Collapsed lung. I had to have surgery. And they wanted to do surgery on me, but I was too weak. I was like 150 pounds, you know.
Mm.
So they had to try and build me back up so I could have the surgery.
Walk me. So I've had COVID, I think, three times. Fortunately, I think I'm one of those people that just like nothing happens, right? Mm-hmm. Like I got a sniffle and maybe a small temp.
Yeah.
What was it like for you when you caught COVID?
I can breathe.
So you get to Scotland, you're just hanging out.
Yeah.
Do you wake up one morning and all of a sudden, oh, I can't breathe?
Yeah. Well, my friend took me down to England. You know, my mom had just died, so she took me down to England so I could see my mom's house. And I didn't feel too good, but we went back to Scotland, and that night I just couldn't breathe, you know, and I couldn't catch my breath, you know. So they 999'd me to the hospital. Yeah.
Were you coughing or?
No coughing. I just couldn't breathe.
Couldn't breathe.
Yeah, you know, like 65 respirations.
Any temperature?
I was out of it. I was in the ICU. Mm. You know, so I don't remember a lot of it.
So it was quick. It took you fast. When you go through something like that, so I've had two heart surgeries. I've had valve problems, mm-hmm. and I actually had a heart attack.
Yep.
When you run into this life-altering experience, mm-hmm. what kind of change comes over Scott McGee?
Well, I was there all day. I was there by myself, you know, and because I didn't want my wife to come over and catch it, because it was rampant, you know. And so I said, you stay there, you know. And I spent six, when I wasn't in hospital, I was in there five times. I finished up in Glasgow, and that's where they did the surgery. And if it wasn't for my good friend, Danny Spivey, you know, he came and he didn't, he was the only person to send me financially, because they was going to release me to a homeless shelter with a chest tube.
My God.
And so, yeah. So Danny Spivey, he really came through for me.
So again, I know this is probably tough to talk about.
Yeah.
Your health problems, mm-hmm. and you're about to be sent somewhere where you're not even recovered. They're just like, yeah, you can't pay. You got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that, do you reach out to Danny, or has Danny been checking on you?
Danny was checking on me, yeah.
So can you share with me maybe the conversation you had with Danny?
Well, he just called. He just called and, you know, asked out. It was hard for me to even talking got me out of breath, you know. Mm. And, of course, they had to... I was in a special room, you know, and even to get my medicine, they had to gown up, glove up, face mask, you know. I had IVs in both arms, and so I didn't really, I didn't have a long conversation with him, but he definitely came through for me.
Well, I want to say Danny Spivey, God bless, and I mean that.
Yeah.
It was family, my friend.
And Bronwyn Billington, you know, Dynamite Kid's daughter, she started a GoFundMe to help me out, you know, so.
I want to get into Dynamite Kid a little later into the interview, because I do have questions for you. But I want to start, you're here for WrestleCon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And you revealed something to me before. For the interview, which I find amazing, right? You're a pretty well-known name within the industry. Can you share with the family what this about your visit to WrestleCon, what you were telling me about?
Oh, it's just I'm looking forward to it. It's the first event I've been to.
Ever. Which utterly is amazing.
Yep.
Utterly is amazing to me.
Yep.
What made you decide to do this? Have you ever been asked to do this before?
Yeah, I've been asked, but
and why weren't you doing them?
I wasn't too healthy at the time, because I just had neck surgery. And they put my fourth neck surgery, and my wife said to me, as I was leaving to go to Scotland, she said, "Don't go." Mm. Now, if she had said it twice, I'd have gone back home.
Mm.
But.
Are you still having issues from COVID? Is there any lingering effects from it?
Yeah, I get a brain fog, you know, brain fog, forget things, you know.
Amazing. So I'm looking at you, right, and I'm thinking to myself, like, how does it feel being this wrestler and that you're going to go to this event now, mm-hmm. that you finally have decided to go to?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you as a wrestler, mm-hmm. or a former wrestler, mm-hmm. that fans still love and adore Scott McGee?
I can't believe it. You know, I can't. It's been 35 years, and you know, people still write me and find out where I live, and they write me and. Asking for an autograph, or even one guy even sent me a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Right.
You know. So.
What was the most touching letter or email you have ever received from a fan? Oh, tough question, I know.
There's been so many things that touched me. One of the biggest things a fan did for me was I actually for my birthday, she actually got a planet up there, and I actually have a planet that's named after me up there somewhere.
So a fan bought you a planet with your name on it.
Yeah, planet.
How amazing is that? How amazing is it to be loved like this?
It's amazing.
I got to tell you, Scott, you're kind of a blessed guy, right? Not only do you have so many fans, but you have a friend like a Dan Spivey who made sure that his, you know, his brother was taken care of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
You believe in God?
Absolutely. I'm a born again Christian, you know.
Were you always a born again Christian?
No.
What turned you?
My wife's, before I married her, he said, the father, I said, just go to church one time. That's all you got to do. When I asked him if I could marry her. He said, "Yeah, but you got promised me you'll go to church one time, and you'll never stop Angela from going to church." And I said, "Sure." And so I went, and it took about 3 months before I even figured out what was going off. Because the churches over here are so different than England.
Mm.
You know, England, it's like you can hear a pin drop, you know.
Right.
Hear a pin drop. And over there, everybody's clapping and singing, praise the Lord. And I thought, what's everybody doing? Everybody's crazy.
Hard question then. I know you kind of out of it, but when you were aware and your life was on the line with COVID,
yeah.
were you scared to die?
No.
How come?
No. No. In fact, I think it was like the fifth time I was in a hospital, and I said, God, I said, either take me home or make me better. Good. Don't leave me like this, you know. And I promised God that I would spend the rest of my life praising his son, Jesus Christ, you know. So then I got hit by the Holy Spirit. He put me down, straight down, boom. And I was fighting it. I was 250 pounds. I had a Hawaiian shirt on. My cousin was in the pew, you know, in the audience, and I'm thinking the guy. I was just going down with my wife to catch her if she falls down, because I didn't believe in that that stuff, you know. And the pastor just laid his hands on me, and boom, I went straight down like a rock. So before I thought any man that'll die for my sins, I'm on his team, you know, and that was enough. That was enough. But then after the pastor laid me down on the ground, you know, I was just like, that really shook me up. In fact, I went to Christian bookstores, you know, to try and find out what exactly happened to me, you know. But, you know, they call it slain in the spirit, you know. But, yeah.
Good team to be on, man.
Yeah.
Good team to be on.
Yeah.
It's nothing like a good team. Yeah. What happens, though, when you have, like, a team member that goes off on their own? What do you do with that team member? Can you give me some advice?
There's a story in the Bible.
No, tell me
about the man looking for that one sheep. You know, leaves his flock of 99 to go find the one person out there. Me and Danny used to go together. I used to pick up Danny from I went to see him one day. And he just looked sick. I took his temperature, and I couldn't even get a reading on the thermometer. And so I took him to the doctors, and the doctor said, take him to the hospital. So I took him to the hospital, and they took his hip out, and they couldn't replace it. The only thing they could do is put a big sponge full of antibiotics.
Wow.
in there. So for 6 months, he was on crutches and going to church on crutches with no hip.
Oh, wow.
So we've all got his eyes closed, and, you know, and the pastor's doing the last call. And I look up, and there's Danny going down to the front on his crutches. And he says, look at that man. He said, most people, they use crutches as an excuse to stay from the pew. But look at this man. And I said, Pastor Garcia, I said, this is dangerous, Dan, the left-hand man. Oh, he said, okay, well, you get behind him in case he falls down.
Mm.
Now, in case he falls down, he's 6'8",
he's
6'8" and 300 pounds. And, so Yeah.
Amazing. Good God. Grew up in England.
Yeah. Yep.
What makes you become a professional wrestler?
My dad was a wrestler.
Which I knew. Yep.
And when I was 15, I came over to Minneapolis. My dad was working for Vern Gagne. And I grew up watching wrestling on TV. You know, sometimes they'd have to stop me from trying to get in the ring. The wrestling was so good, and it was, he had Ray Stevens, Nick Bockwinkle, Billy Robinson, my dad, Baron von Raschke, superstar Billy Graham. You know, I was 15 years old.
So you're in the AWA area, then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess the question to you, I know it's probably not cable at that point, but were you able to see other regional wrestling, or are you just only in AWA?
Only at that time, only the TVs only went where the territory went.
So you're watching as a fan. Yep. Obviously, your father's a wrestler. Yep. At some point, were you able to see any other regions? And was
oh sure.
So was that surprising to you? Were they so different? Like, what were your thoughts as just the fan?
No, we went from Minneapolis. We went to Texas, and I spent the whole summer with my dad on the road. You know, and I used to study. I used to watch Mad Dog Vachon, John Tolles, Red Bastine, Jose Lothario, Al Madrill. You know, I used to watch him, and I started to get a different side of it. I understood, you know. I started to understand.
Because AWA was a bit different, right? It was more of a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
So what was Texas like compared to an AWA?
Well, it was pretty much the same. It was the wrestling was so good that you couldn't see any holes in it at all. And after 6 months, we moved to Oregon. Which was it rains every day in Oregon. But I went to school in Minneapolis. I went to school in Texas, and I went to school in Oregon, and I wrestled in all the schools. And then after we left Oregon, we ended up in Florida, and I was 16 years old, and my dad said, "Do you want to go to school, or do you want to wrestle?"
And you're like, "I'm wrestling."
Yeah.
But I got to stop you there first. So you've got this pretty heavy English accent, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're in Minneapolis.
Yep.
And then you're Texas. Like, at some point, are you picking up anybody else's, like, I guess the word is dialect, right? Like that. Like, do you start talking like an English Texan? I mean, like, how does that work?
I thought I had a Texas twang.
No, not that I hear, but I don't know. So you end up in Florida.
Florida, working out with Cal Gotch every day.
Amazing.
Every day, I worked out with Cal. You know, I could in 6 weeks I could do 500 free squats, 250 push-ups, abdominals and bridging in 45 minutes. You know, I used to be so sore that sometimes my dad would carry me and put me in the back of his station wagon, you know, and I could move. I could not move.
Scott, I got to go back a second, though, because I'm just trying to put myself in your place. So you're a teenager, right? And you're in Minneapolis, and you're in Texas, and you're Florida.
Yep.
Obviously, I could tell wrestling was in your blood. That's what you wanted to do. But how was the moving for you Was it upsetting to you? Was there a point you're like, I'm sick of this life? Like, I just want to have my friends in one area? Or are you just like, I don't care. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about mom? What was mom thinking?
She's ready to go too.
Ready to go.
Ready to go. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in Florida.
Yeah.
You working for the Grams?
Yeah. My mom, my dad was.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working out with Carl and Jody Simon, you know, Jody Simon was Carl's greatest achievement in teaching somebody shoot wrestling. Jody was number one, you know. And of course, Steve Nelson, he's a second generation wrestler. He was a cage fighter. Sambo champion.
Some big names you're throwing out here. Yeah.
So Steve, we still keep in touch, and of course, he Steve Nelson, he kept in touch with my wife the whole time I was sick in Scotland, and like Joe Gomez, Al Rosen, Bruce Rosen. Jody Simon, they all got together to get me. Although Danny did offer to fly me back, they wanted to get me a ticket back. Mm-hmm. So they all chipped. They all put some money in and got me a ticket back. Yeah.
You're a blessed man.
Yeah.
Your father starts training you?
No.
Who starts training you in Florida?
Carl Gotch.
Okay.
Yeah.
At what point are you ready to start working the Florida? You start working the Florida territory at some point, don't you?
When I was 17, we went back to England.
Okay.
And, of course, I carried on my amateur wrestling, you know, Olympic style. And I was like the state champion. I was the North of England champion. I came second in the national championships in Scotland. And that was like Scotland, Ireland, England and Wales. And in fact, Fit Finlay, you know Fit Finlay?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the national championships, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my weight, yeah, 72 kilos.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you come back to the States,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, when I was 19, I came back to the States, and my ex-wife is Rick. Me and Rick married two sisters, Rick Flair.
Okay.
Married two sisters. And
so Flair's first wife is your first wife's sister. Wow.
Yeah. And
so wait, you got to stop there. So how does that happen? Are you hanging out with Flair and you meet him at the same time? Does Flair introduce you to him? Like, what happens then?
I met Rick the second day I was in, you know,
in the States.
In the States, yeah. Second day, and he called my mom, and he said, "Gary is gonna stay." I'm Scott. Gary, I get confused. He says, "Scott, Gary is gonna stay here tonight because he's getting stiff." And boy, did I get stiff! Yeah. I had such a good time with Rick as a young man. I mean, Rick had the ability to make you feel like he was the only person in the whole wide world, you know. And of course, I admired him, you know, and of course, he loved my dad.
Mm.
He absolutely, he said, when I grow up, He said, I'm going to be just like your dad.
Are you still in contact with Flair?
No, unfortunately, we had a misunderstanding. I'm sure it's all forgotten. But can you swear on this?
Absolutely.
Yeah. He told me to go fuck myself. But it was a misunderstanding. And it was a long time ago.
Can you share the misunderstanding, maybe? Or is that possible?
I better not. Because it's just going to start some more trouble.
Gotcha. I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards.
No, it's fine. So, okay, so you haven't spoken to him for a while, right?
Right.
When his son passes, which was a travesty, right?
Jeez.
Yeah. And I guess this is my point to you, Scott, is, right? You have this falling out. We're not asking what the falling out was about.
Yeah.
But at that point, do you feel like you just want to reach out to him? Or are you too scared to reach out to him?
No. Rick lost his son. Jerry Lawler lost his son.
Mm.
Brian Blair lost his son. Mike Rotundo.
Mm.
I mean, wow. It was just like, I don't know where they get the strength. If anything happened to my children, I don't know what I'd do, but I just don't know.
We've seen some really sad stuff in this industry I guess that's my point to you, is like mending fences, right, before it's too late, right? Because life is too short.
We spoke to each other through people, so.
All right, let me ask you this. I'm just going to throw that out there, right? So it's a pretty popular show here.
Yeah.
What would you say to Ric Flair? I'm not asking you to reveal what happened, but what would you say to Ric Flair now so that he could hear you?
I'd hug him. It's all forgotten. It's just like... And he's 10 years older than me. So he always had the respect of a man that's 10 years older than me. And... Rick, I beat Rick on TV in Florida, which is a big deal.
I don't want to interrupt you, but you wrestled Race for the NWA title, yeah, right? You wrestled Ric Flair for the NWA title. That is a big deal. Ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah. I beat Rick on TV. It was his idea, and then I beat Billy Graham, superstar Billy Graham. When I was 15, I used to work out at his house, and now he's putting me over for the Florida Heavyweight Championship, He was glad to do it. So those two matches really stick out, especially. I was 20, and Barry was 19. Barry Windham,
the great
was
Barry
19,
Windham, yeah.
And we're the youngest team ever to win the Florida Tag Team Championships.
Where does Barry Windham, as a wrestler to you, rank of all-time great wrestlers?
He was so gifted, and plus he was almost 6'6", and he was broad shoulders, a small waist, and I think he'd have made the next world champion. You know, I think.
You know, I'm a huge look. I grew up a huge Barry Windham guy. Yeah. I was a WWE guy, but in the NWA, I was a big Barry Windham guy.
Yeah.
I want to bring you back to Florida. You're working. Yeah. You're working with the Grahams. What was your relationship with Mike Graham?
Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
When Mike took his life, how did that affect you?
Well, it was Super Bowl Sunday, and Brian Blair called me, and he said, Eddie Graham has just shot himself in the head. And I called Cal Gotch, and I told Cal Gotch, Cal, and I just spoke to him. I was supposed to go to the office on Monday to talk to him about business, and then Mike did the same thing. Mm. You know, it's just a curse, you know.
Does it ever become too overwhelming with all this stuff? I mean, again, me and my partner Jimmy, who's in Florida right now, you remember Wahoo McDaniel,
yeah,
right?
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, if I could, Wahoo's widow was interviewed on the show, and her and my great partner, you would love him.
Yeah.
They met on air, they fell in love, and he moved to Florida, which is an incredible story in itself, right? But, we always talk about wrestling being this microcosm of the world, and life's tough enough as it is, right? You got your family, right? Mm-hmm. You went through COVID, life-threatening thing, and now you watch all these family members, either their siblings die or their children die or they die.
Mm-hmm.
Does it ever just become too overwhelming? Because it's beyond your regular family, right? Your regular family, now you got all this going on, right?
Well, when you stop wrestling, it's like getting a divorce, you know. And it's when you, because I stopped wrestling because I had two blood clots in my brain.
Wow.
And I was wrestling as Garfield Potts, the financial advisor for the Karachi Vice. And we'd been working a program for like 4 months, me and Gamma Singh against Bruce Art and Brian Pillman. And the day they're going to do a title switch, I have a full-blown friggin' stroke.
Mm.
Two blood clots, and of course I couldn't speak. I couldn't write. I couldn't communicate. I couldn't even feel my right side. So, but I was living at Dynamite's house with Michelle and Bronwyn, and Michelle was pregnant. And I remember when Michelle came to see me in hospital with Julie, a sister, Julie Hart.
Right.
And I just remember, you know, I couldn't speak. I could just lay there in bed, you know. And in fact, you know, I could hear everything. And when my ex-wife came, eventually, when she came up to see me, they told her that He's a vegetable. Mm. He's a vegetable, so don't expect too much, you know. And I thought to myself.
So you hear this.
Yeah,
you hear
yeah,
them telling your ex-wife, yeah, and you're like, shit, I ain't no vegetable.
No, so, yeah, well, what can I do to let them know that somebody, there's a body trapped inside this, you know.
The brain's working, man. The brain hears, it sees, it knows.
Yeah, the brain, I mean, I couldn't, and the more I tried to write with my left hand, and everything would be, it wouldn't make sense. Mm. It'd be all scrambled, you know. So it was just like, I didn't, of course, I was in the ICU unit, and, well, I figured I'm in the best place, you know. They got the best doctors, and I just leave it up to them, you know, and figure out what the heck's going off with me.
How long was your recovery?
Oh, gee. Well, it was a couple of months before I was strong enough to travel back to Florida, you know. So I want to say 2 months. It might have been 6 weeks, you know, where I could have enough strength to get on a plane and get back to Florida, you know.
Man, you've gone through some tough stuff, man. I got to tell you, holy cow. God bless. I'm glad everything's working out. You look great. And
I tried to make a comeback, of course, but
can't get the wrestler out of the wrestler, right?
Yeah. Well,
what is the statement? Can't get the wrestler out of the ring, or what is the
ring out of the wrestler?
The ring out of the wrestler, right?
But I worked for Mike Graham, you know, after I got some strength back. I worked for Mike Graham a little bit, and I went to the Bahamas with Denny Brown, and they still talk about us. We got so inebriated, and I went to Yugoslavia. I went to Yugoslavia to wrestle with Red Bastien. Mm. And I was a small guy that is used to banging all over the place, you know, and when I couldn't do that anymore, I thought it's the best to bow out.
Yeah.
You know, because it was going to drive me crazy. I still have matches in my head. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm thinking, boy, I should have done that, this. And I have the same dream. I'm trying to get my boots on.
I got to tell you, when Tony Greer was in here and I'm watching you, you could just see the love for the wrestling in your faces. It's amazing. It is amazing. Look, I want to jump on to something else. Can you show the camera your tattoo on your arm? Your arm, I want to make sure. Abe, I want to make sure I get this real quick. It's Dynamite Kid, 1958-2018.
Yeah.
So, saw you on Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're just fans, right? Yeah. So, and everything we've heard from other wrestlers, things like that.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you to try to show that tattoo up? I would like the fans watching to see it a little more. Yeah, that's. I think that's going to be better. That's good, right, Abe?
That's good.
Thank you. It's a nice tattoo, by the way, and it's a great tribute to your friend. Everything we heard, and even in the Dark Side of the Ring, and we all understand that Dark Side of the Ring is called Dark Side of the Ring for a reason, right? They're not going to push any kind of positive stuff. That he just was not a good guy. But when you're on there, you could tell your love, and obviously your love for him.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe this would be a great opportunity to explain to everybody what kind of person he really was and why he was like that, and maybe discredit some of the stories that are out there.
Well, is it easy to talk about him now that he's no longer there? You know, I've heard people talk about him, but when I was 20, I went up to work at, for Stu, and as Gary Ports, and back then they worked 2 days in Montana, and me having a work permit, H2, I couldn't get in back in the country. I couldn't, they wouldn't allow me back in the United States. So I lost my wallet. And Dynamite, you know, he picked me up, you know, he fed me, you know, he made sure, you know, I was all right, made sure I had money, took me to the airport, you know, and that's the first, but I always, when I was 17 and I just come back from Florida and I was with Dynamite, I was watching TV and I saw the Dynamite Kid and I thought, that's what I want to be. You know, like Dynamite Kid. I could never be like Dynamite Kid.
Do you remember
Kid.
What match it was when you were watching?
I'm trying to think who he wrestled.
Was it the Tiger Mask match in
Madison Square Garden? No, it was, he was 17 years old and he was wrestling my godfather, my real godfather, mm-hmm. Alan Dennison. Mm. He's strong man, Alan Dennison. Yeah, and we just come back, so we was at Alan's pub, you know, and the Black Bull in Denholm, and he was talking about a Dynamite Kid, you know, and I said, yeah, I just seen you on TV, you know, with wrestling. He said it's great. I said, yeah, will you tell him from me, you know, that Jeff Ports' kid thinks is the best thing since sliced bread, you know. And so that's when it all started, when I was 17 and I saw him on TV. Yeah, that's when it all started.
So you participated in Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
So you heard the stories from his wife, what he did to her.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Obviously, you know the Rougeau.
Yeah.
You know, we had Jacques on who explained that story.
Yeah.
And also we had Outback Jack in here, and Outback mm-hmm. told a story how they totally drugged him up and almost killed him, right?
Yep.
Are these true stories, or was he a mean-hearted person?
For instance, he put some volume in my mom's drink.
Jesus Christ, what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to laugh, but I mean... What?
He put some volume in my mom's drink. I said, well, why do you put it in a drink? She'd have gladly taken it, you know. He said, I don't know, I just... Oh,
I just felt like I wanted to knock your mom.
I tell you what, one time, this is after I had the blood clots in my brain. So I'm with George Scott, son, with there's Dynamite, David Boy, me, George Scott's youngest son, and of course, giving you know, is getting a couple of when he's not looking, is getting his.
It's getting.
Is getting a.
What are they, halcyons, right?
Halcyons, volume. Yeah.
What, they were just throwing them all in there like a trash can.
And George, next day, George Scott calls me up. He says, "What happened to my Byron?"
His son.
I said, I don't know. He said, "I found him half outside the apartment, you know, Indian Rock Beach, outside the apartment, door open, and him completely naked. And he, I couldn't wake him up." I said, I don't know. I don't know nothing. He said, "Was it, were the bulldogs? Were the bulldogs around?" And I said, "They might have been around, you know. Might have been around. I didn't see anything.
I know we're kind of laughing about it though, but there is something wrong with doing that to someone, right? I mean, God forbid you literally kill them, right?
For instance, one day, I used to have a black leather hat I used to wear all the time. And me and Danny in Cleveland. And we'd never been there before. And we got a ride to the motel with a bus. Great. And I said, "Danny, there's a bar in there. He said, "Right." So we went in there, and the girl said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And we said, "Oh, we never been here before." "Yeah, you did. You were in the corner smoking a joint with Jim Neidhart. I've got your hat. You know, I've got your hat." And it vaguely came back to me. You know, so vaguely I remember us three smoking a joint. But I didn't know it was in the middle of the bar, you know. So, you know, those halcyons, you know, 1 milligram, and we'd take three or four, you know. God. So we'd wake up after total amnesia.
What? I know you explained what Davey Boy Dynamite did for you when you were younger. What in your mind? What were the great parts of this Dynamite Kid that people, like fans like myself, don't know about him, like the man?
Well, you got to understand, his dad was a fighter, he came from a fighting family. He could box before he could wrestle, and Ted Bexley did a heck of a job training Dynamite. Mm. So he came from a very hard background, and bringing up, you know, when he was 15 years old, he was playing rugby with the men, you know. And this is regarding Michelle, and when it was good, it was fantastic, but when it was bad, it was really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when he came down with Arnold Skoland, his son, Judd Skoland and George, and he just had the operation on his back, you know, and Vince had asked him to lose the belt, because they had the belts, and he wanted to get him off the Bulldogs. Dynamite was like 160 pounds, you know, and he put his boots on, and he got out of a wheelchair, and walked to the ring. Of course, he didn't get in the ring, but they double teamed him, and they beat David Boy. But that my ex-wife used to hear him at nighttime, because we was all zonked out on pills. We used to hear him at nighttime, just crying, like a crying. He was in so much pain, you know. So
you think he was angry over the injuries, and that was his way of lashing out, kind of, you know, because it was kind of, you know, I remember when he hit the scene up here, you know, the big match was him against Tiger Mask, right? I mean, that was because the WWE had never seen a match like that. Fans of WWE never.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously with the Bulldogs were a huge hit.
Yeah.
And then obviously the injury happens. Yeah. Do you think that he was lashing out, that his career was crumbling?
Well, he wasn't quite the same after he had the back surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, he looked good. He looked great, you know. But, you know, he used to take bumps. Just like before. But I think, you know, we all know what really sent him off the deep end, you know, was, you know, I don't like talking about it anymore, but, you know, Michelle and I hope she don't mind me talking about this, but Michelle and Dynamite, she could not put up with the drinking, you know, anymore, you know.
What about you, Scott? You come up here, you're in the WWE, you get the call, right? It was the big time. But, you know, no matter how anyone wants to talk about it, when you're coming up here, you've now made it. Here you are. You wrestled Ric Flair, Harley Race. You've won all these titles. You're friggin' hell of a wrestler. You come up here. They start you off a little hot, and then they tank you. What happened to Scott McGee?
Scott McGee liked the money. I never made so much money. You know, even though I was doing jobs, I was making $2,500 a week underneath, you know. And I never made that kind of money before. I made a couple of times in Florida in a good week and make $1,500. But that was rare, you know. And sometimes I make $1,000. But this was like every week was like a check for $2,500, you know. And plus me and Danny used to get the draws every night. And I still have $2,500 left, you know. So I knew it was over. Scott McGee was dead when once I started putting guys over that before I'd beaten before,
right,
in Florida. You know, I could, in fact, I called Dusty up, and I asked him if I could come back, and he said, in the middle, under a mask, So I knew Scott McGee was dead.
Killed it.
So, so Dynamite says, hey, come up to Calgary. Bruce wants you to wrestle as Garfield Potts. And I had the long tights and knee brace, and I loved it. I loved it. I loved being a heel. I just loved it. You can lie, you can tell stories, you know, Canadian cowards and all that stuff, you know.
Are you glad that the path that you've taken in life, are you satisfied? Are you glad this is the path that you've decided?
I should have been dead many times. If I the last car accident I had was a pretty bad one, but I had a blood clots in the brain, four neck surgeries, four back surgeries, knee replaced, left shoulder, no. Right shoulder, left shoulder, shoulder, and so I think I'm like they combed my wife like at least three times, and said we don't know if he's going to make it through the night.
Wow.
And so here I am.
And there you are.
Yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow.
Excited for tomorrow. And with that, I want to thank you, Scott. Incredible interview.
Yeah.
And Scott McGee, Tony Garea, WrestleCon in New Jersey, and then I think you're at Wrestling Universe on Sunday.
Yep.
Don't miss this opportunity to meet these two icons in pro wrestling. I will say, what an honor to have you in this studio. I thank you again, sir.
Thank you.
And thank you for, being so candid. I really appreciate what you've done for the wrestling business. And even though with all the health problems you have or had, I'm glad you made it through. So I could clearly say I'm glad you were a wrestler because you entertained me. Then you're still alive. So that's the most important part.
Yep.
Anything you want to say to the fans out there?
No, just if you're not doing anything between 10 and 4, come on down. I'd love to see you and show you my picture, what I used to look like.
We're all changing, bro. We're all changing.
Yeah, I'm I'm sorry. It's like I'm really looking forward for tomorrow.
And they're all going to be looking forward to seeing you. I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Friday night. Don't forget, WrestleCon and then Wrestling Universe, you have this huge opportunity to meet these icons. And I got to tell you, I wish Jimmy was here, but I know he's got better things to do. Mm-hmm. And he's we'll see him and we'll see everybody next Thursday. I want to thank the family for joining us. And I want to remember everybody this if you want to be part of the Monty Nefaro YouTube channel. You've got Dan and Benny in the ring. You've got Wrestling Remembered. I think there's a WrestleMania recap. So we got this whole group of hosts from Benny Scala, Dan Sebastiano, Joe What a Day Lowry, ESO Creative, Phil Mr. President. Join them all on their wonderful shows. You won't be seeing me for a while because I do this on a very limited basis, right? Got to keep the fans off the, whatever. Uh-huh. But I want to thank everybody, and thank you again, sir.
Thank you.
God bless. Be well.